Okay, let me just tell you a little bit about your life. This Thursday is Monday's classes, so we don't have any class. Next Thursday will be a hybrid day, basically. I'm not going to be here next Thursday. Eric will be, however, and so it will be an open lab from 9:30 to 2 at least, right? And so it's another catch-up day, basically. So we're going to start to get, hopefully, wind down for the end of the semester. So next Thursday is a hybrid day. And the way I run hybrid days, the way I've been running them, is to have Eric here in the lab so if you can come for an open lab and work. Okay? And he'll be here from 9:30 on until 2. Okay, so what I want to do today is wind up Visual Basic, which I attribute to, we're going to get done with Visual Basic. So I want you to go in and open the one that says Next. And under Next, there is a Project If test, and I want you to open that. And then we will look at a couple of more. This one has a lot of what we've done in it. Okay, the clicking's died down, so I think that means most of you have got it done. First of all, if you decide you want to change the name of the form, which I've done here, okay, and it's decided to let me write. I don't quite know why it would have decided not to let me write. Because the tools are open. So it's supposed to be happy. Let's try that one more time. Oh, I think actually it's... No, it is like... If you want to change the name, you need... If you want to change the name, it's at that three-quarter level stage, I think, this where it only gives me three-quarters of the screen to write on. If you decide to change the name of the form, if you want to change the form name, do it here. Do it up there. Optional. You can just leave it for one. When people get heavily into VB, there is a certain amount of I might have multiple forms, and so I want to name them so I can keep track of which is which. We're only working with one form. Calling a form one is just fine. But everything else we name by coming down here to the properties. If we change the name of the form down in the properties, it doesn't really get it. So it has to be changed up there in the Solution Explorer. So what you can do is right-click on that and click on Rename. So you can right-click on the name of the form and click on Rename if you want to rename the form. I wouldn't bother. I'd leave it at Form 1. But I have done it a lot of times, and so if you are following my models and wanting to do it, that's the way that it should be done. Okay, so now I'm going to go in and look at these. What I've got here is a bunch of labels, text boxes, and buttons. And there's a whole lot of other tools, but those are the three that are used the most frequently. I want to have buttons so I can have click events. I want to have labels so I can tell what's in my boxes. And I want to have text boxes so I can take user input. And those are really probably, 75, 80, 90% of what people put on a form. You know, you can add a lot of other things, but those are the basics. Okay, so if I come in here and look at the program, first of all, remember that when I define something right under class, before the first subroutine, it is global, which means it's available to all of the subroutines. So all of the subroutines can see that, all of them can use it, it's available to all of them. Whereas these down here are local. They're local to the subroutine. They can only be used by that subroutine. Okay? So that's one thing to keep in mind. Okay. If I want to define a variable that I want to use, I can set it up like these, and it will be there for me to use. Now notice I am telling it the type, which I have to do. I also gave it an initial value, which is optional. But I have to tell it the type. Okay, the type of data that is going to be in it. I have to define the type when I define a variable. Okay, so in this one, I have a couple of different things going on. One of them is that I'm doing, or a couple of them, I'm doing some calculations. Okay. In this one, I use val. You can also use C-I-M-T, or C-D-E-C, or also val. Val is kind of the generic one. It's also older than the other two. But val is kind of the generic. I don't have to specify whether I want it to be a decimal or an integer. I just say I want this to be treated as a number. C integer is for integers. C decimal is for decimal. And those all can be used. So when I'm doing a calculation that is involving adding, I have to use the val or the C integer or the C decimal or something in order to be able to do it, because it will concatenate otherwise. Because again, the plus sign is either adding or concatenating. The other thing that we talked about is everything that comes in on the text box is assumed to be text. And so that makes it important to do the conversion. Everything that comes in on the text from the text boxes
is stored like it is text.
Okay, it's considered to be text. So here I set up in the global area, work diff, and from button calc I went down and I used that work diff, and I said take whatever the budget is and subtract the sum of the spent and the committed. Notice that I put in a bunch of parentheses there. The parentheses around this is Val, and then I put the thing I wanted to convert inside parentheses. But this outer set of parentheses, do I need it or not?
Depends on order of operations, right?
Right. And both of these are minus and plus, so it really doesn't matter whether I subtract first and add next or what I do. So I don't really need those, okay? I put them in because mathematically it kind of made more sense to me. Take the spent and committed, add them together, and subtract them from the budget. Okay, so that made more sense to me, so I put the parenthesis in there. Okay. But it doesn't matter if I take budget, subtract sent, spent, and then add committed, I'm going to get the same answer. And then I said, okay, now take work difference and put it out of the form. Because remember, this is a memory variable. It's not going to show up on the form unless I put it into a text box. Then on the one below, I went and I just basically defined a lot of things and I did a bunch of calculations and then finally took what I wanted to put out and put it out on the form. But here I just defined a lot of variables, did a lot of calculations, and when I'm done, I took and put some results on the form. Okay. Then down below, I have I'm not sure I took a picture of that. Well, let me take a picture and then we'll go out. Here I have a series of if statements. Okay, what is that one under button and either? What is that going to result out in? What am I looking for? What would be the word problem that that would solve?
Which one are you looking at? I'm sorry.
This one. What and
either.
What am I looking for there? Looking for one particular branch, and what am I looking for that meets the criteria? What other things have to be true?
The budget greater than $5,000.
Or?
Tax and deposit.
Or this. Okay. Because I am basically going to say it has to be Boston. And if it is Boston, then I continue along, right? If it's Boston, I continue along. And I ask, is the budget greater than 5,000? And if it is, then it meets the criteria. Then what does that else go with?
The texts.
I'm not sure what you're saying. I've got this already up there, right? Where does the else fit into that flow chart?
Oh, right after the budget greater than 5,000.
Right.
On the no.
So the no goes down here, and I ask another question, which is work total, which I calculated there. Is work total greater than the budget divided by 2?
Yes.
Okay, so I basically am asking another question. Is work total greater than budget divided by 2 or whatever? And if it is, what happens?
The criteria.
And what else do I have here? Where does this else go off of?
The first F.
No. Where's the else, right? The one that is an else to the work total greater than budget goes off the work total greater than budget. And so this does not meet the criteria. And then the one down here at the bottom that says does not meet criteria goes off the Boston. So those go together. These go together, and these go together. Sorry, people at home, look at the picture. But essentially, this is my logic flowchart. Okay, thank you, sir. So, then I close these up at the bottom, and I have my logic. So basically, I'm asking here one of my favorite questions. The branch has to be Boston, and either of the other two have to be true. The branch has to be Boston, and either of the other two have to be true, or have to meet the criteria. Okay? Questions. And then down below, I wrote that out, the same logic, but using the parenthesis. Boston and either this or this is a meets criteria. Otherwise, it does not meet criteria. So that could have been done either compound or simple ifs. And those are my two examples that I have there. Okay. The next one that I want to do, if you don't have any questions about this, is the right one. So I'm going to close the solution and open the project, and I have a right. Project write text. Okay, JavaScript is mainly used on the web to supplement HTML. If you are going to be writing files on the web and data on the web, you tend to use another language. So we didn't get into read-write in JavaScript. But most languages have the read-write capability because that's what it's all about. I need to store data and then be able to access that data. Because if I can't store data, then I can't store the names of my employees, the amount of my inventory. I can't store anything, okay? So reading and writing is incredibly important when you're working in programming. So here I am going to write a file. And this is just a very preliminary kind of introduction, but this is allowing me to write a file. So the first thing I do is I say dim what the record looks like. Like back in Access, when you had to set up the record that you were going to write, or set up the table that you were going to write. I'm now defining the table or the list of data. It's not really a table, it's a file. A table is part of a database, or as a file, it can be a standalone thing. So, I said dim data write as a string, and on that string, I want to put the contents of the text ID number box, concatenated with a comma, concatenated with the name, text name dot text, so what was in the text name box, concatenated with a comma, concatenated with what was in the major box, concatenated with BBCRLF, which means skip down to the next line, carriage control line feed. So that means go down to the next line. So I will write a line that has those three things on it, and then it will move down to the next line. Okay. On the next line, I write the copy and paste. My computer file system, write all text. And then I include the address where I want to write this. And I include data write, which is the thing that I defined up here. Okay, I defined data write there, then I'm telling it what I wanted to write is data write. So, if I go and I run this, okay, it is going to look at my E drive and see if there is a directory there called VBCIS120. And if there is, it's going to write student S17, and I may have already used that, so I'm going to change that and make it an A. Now, I don't know which disk I put in where on my E drive, because I've got two in there. So I may not have BBCIS120 on the E drive. I may have to change that to the F drive. But we're going to just run it and see. It will yell at me if I don't have it. So I'm saying start. And I'm waiting. Okay. It looks like it was able to find, well, I'll know that for sure when I click the right, sorry. So I'm going to put 123, Susan Ash, major CI, and I'm going to click on right. And it didn't like that. Okay, so it didn't find the address. So now what I've got to do is say, okay, that's not on there. I'm going to have to go and look at my E drive. And if I don't have that file there, I'm going to have to make it. Okay? So I'm going to close this down and close this down. And I'm going to come over here, and I'm going to look at my E drive, and I have a file called VB120, but it's not VBCIS120. So, I guess I need to change that. Okay, so I'm going to come over here and change this, and call it VB120. So now I've got the directory on the E drive. Okay? So now I claim it ought to be able to write. Okay? So I can do a file, save all, although it does that automatically, but it's a good idea. And I'm going to start up again. And I'm going to buy 112, Linda French, CI, and click on write. And it looks like it did it. So now I'm going to buy 234, David Costa, CI, and write again. And then I'm going to write 3, 4, 5, Jim Riley, BU, and write. And then 4, 5, 6, Susan Ash, CI, and write. So I've now written a bunch of files. And then when I click end, it closes it. Okay, so now I have to go to my E drive under VB120, and there it is, another S17A. And if I open it, there it is. Okay, I can now see the records that I put on them. And notice each of the records has a comma between fields, like I told it. And each of the records moves down to the next line after it's written a line. Okay, so I've created a file, and that file is something I can keep forever. And there are ways that I can go in and maintain it, but we're not talking about those. But you can go in and add to it and change things and delete things and all the rest of it. So I now have created a file. Okay? And it is located at a particular address that I know. So now I'm going to go back to the program. And I am going to open the file so that I can take a picture of them together. And you can see that again, I said first, write text ID number dot text, and there it is. Concatenated with a comma, there it is. Concatenated with what you put in text name dot text, there it is. Concatenated with a comma, concatenated with text major, concatenated with VBCRLF, which is what moved it down to the next line. Okay, so I created a file of 4 records that I can keep. At the end of writing, I don't know if you noticed or not, but it cleared. And that cleared because I put text ID number clear, text name clear, text major clear. And then it set the focus in the ID field. So text ID NO dot focus with the 2 parentheses means that it is putting the focus into that text ID field. The 2 parentheses means this is using a function. And it's a function that Visual Basic has behind the scenes. So it knows that the clear function is clearing out the box. It knows the focus function is moving the cursor. Okay, so it understands and knows that if you write clear with the 2 parentheses, you want it to clear out that area. And if you write it with focus, you want it to change the focus. Okay, and then button end, I just said end. There's a variety of ways you can do that. You can exit, you can me close, you can do a bunch of things. But I just put in there. Questions? Okay, so now what I want to do is open the read. Save that, and I'm going to open the one that has read in the name, whatever that is. Read project. So the read has a button that I can press, and then it's going to read from that file and fill the boxes. So it's going to read from the file and fill the boxes. Okay. So, first of all, notice up at the top it has an address there as to where it's going to go to find the file. So what do I need to change on that address? Think back to what I wrote. What did I change when I wrote? Because what I've got to have here now is the address that I wrote to. Okay? Because I wrote and told it where the address went, and now I need to fix this and put the address that I wrote to. Does anybody remember what I fixed? Hello? What did I change the folder name to? Okay, so now what do I have to fix? There's where the file is. Okay, what's the name of the folder? You may not be able to read it. The folder is VB120. So I've got to change the folder name to VB120, and if you remember, I put an A in on the name of the file. So I've got to do and fix those two things. So I'm going to go up here, and I'm going to get rid of the CIS, and I'm going to put the A in. Okay, so now it is looking like I might be able to find this file that I just wrote. Okay? So I am going to save this, and I'm going to run it. And when I click the read button, it brings up the first record. And when I click the read button again, it brings up the next record, and then the next record, and then the next record, and then I'm done. So it brought up all of the records that I wrote. Okay? So what I did there is I have one program that wrote a file, and the next program is able to read the data that was stored on that file. Okay? So, up at the top, you have another wonderful copy and paste. Okay, and I don't know why some of this stuff is not showing up terribly well, but you can open the files and look at them on your computer. But this one is basically a copy and paste up until this point where I throw in the address. Okay, so I just copy and paste. What that's telling me is that this is Dim My Reader as a new Microsoft Basic File I.O. text field parser, it breaks up a text field, etc. Okay, but it's doing all that behind the scenes. Then I clicked on the button back on the form, and when I click on that button, it created the button read click event. So now I'm putting the code in that button read click event. So I said, to start out with, dim current row as a string. So set up that I have a string of data, and I'm going to call that current row. Now, up at the top here where I said dim my reader, that was the name that I gave it. And now it's saying, if not my reader in the file. Which means if it's not end of file, which means if there's still data there. If there's still data there, then I want to put it up on the screen. If there's not data, then I want to put out a message that says
end of file reached. Okay? So, if it's not end of file, then I say, okay, cur row equals my reader read fields. And that's another, pretty much you write it just like that. Cur row is what I defined right there. My reader is what I defined up there. And I need to stick with those definitions. So I said, okay, the current row, which I defined as a string of data that is out on the file. The current row is the current record out on the file. Go to the current row and take zero, which would be the first field. Because remember, computers count 0, 1, 2. They don't count 1, 2, 3. So get on the row, get the 0 field. So that means if I am looking at this, the 0 field is going to be the ID. Okay? So the 0 field is going to be the ID, and I put it in text ID number. Then it says take current row 1. Well, that's the next field. And so it takes that and puts it into the text named on text field. And then it says current row 2, and current row 2 is going to be the CI, and it puts that into the third one. Now notice down below, it says my reader set the limiter as a comma. So that means it knows that a comma is the separator. So when I say current row 0, 1, 2, it knows that a comma separates the different fields. So there's a comma between current row 0 and current row 1. There's a comma between current row 1 and current row 2. It's the delimiter or separator. Okay? So it puts the stuff up in the box and we're all set. Okay? Then when I'm ready to read another one, I click on the read button again, and it goes in and defines current row as a string, and it moves forward to the next record. So it puts out the information about David Costa. Then when I click it again, it goes in and does it again, and it keeps going through and doing that. Okay? So the last one that I had up here was Susan Ash. And I clicked again, and it says end of file reached. Okay. So again, if I run this again, okay, when I click read the first time, there goes Linda French. Current row 0 goes into the ID. Current row 1 goes into the name. Current row 2 goes into the major. So it's all going in. Okay. Then when I click the read button again, it moves down to the next person. When I click the read button again, it moves to the next person. When I click the read button again, it moves to the next person. And then, if I click the read button again, it gets that message, end of file reached. Because I said up here, if not my reader end of file, do this stuff. If it is my reader end of file, then do that. And label 1 is something that I didn't give a nice name to. I just left it as label 1. And it was set up to receive a message, the end of file message. Okay. On form read load, I basically tell it that it's reading a file. And that the comment, this is a copy line, and witnesses, my reader set the limit to a comma. Now, if I'd written and I'd put an asterisk in between all of the fields, then I'd be setting the delimiter to an asterisk. If I put a slash with all of the fields, I'd set the delimiter to a slash. But a comma is a more common delimiter that you're going to use. Okay. Questions? They should not give us a 3-day weekend. Both my classes so far are good. Am I really back? Okay, questions? Okay, that wraps up Visual Basic. Okay, what I want to do now is, if you look at your assignment, the last one on that assignment says, or the next to the last one, sorry, number 5, write a program to write a file with 3 or 4 fields on it, then write a program to read it and display it on the screen. So that's part of your homework, and I would like you to do that one now. Okay? So I want you to essentially do the same thing that I did. I want you to write a file, and it should be something other than what I wrote, so pick a topic, any topic, but write a file, and then write a program to read that file. Okay, so that's one of your homework things, and I want you to start that now. And if you have questions, ask, which is why you're doing it now as opposed to at home. So you can ask questions.
I have a question about the assignments we had, the portfolio project?
Yes.
Was that
due? You know, no, it's not. And you know what? I'm glad you brought that up. I actually had meant to go over that last week and meant to go over it this week, and I keep forgetting. Thank you. Portfolio project is basically fairly simple and straightforward. And you can have an extra time on it, I said. So what you do is if you go into my examples and down at the bottom I said templates for portfolio and I said you can use mine or you can make up your own. So that would be like the first page. Give your name, give your address, major option, a little bit about yourself, whatever you want to put. And you can put anything you want there. Then I say here, click here to go to the table of contents. So I go someplace. And in fact, none of these work. Okay? Yours have to work. Mine don't. What you're going to do is put in there links to your work. And so I want you to link to, I believe I said 4 things. 2 of them should be JavaScript that you've already written. 1 of them should be a database that you've already done. When you put up a database, you put it up like anything else, you just load it up to the server, and it's got an ACCDB extension. And so when you want to download it, you just write out, I want to download this, and you put an ACCDB extension on it. So when you go here, and I look at this view page source, okay, I am linking to a bunch of fields that don't exist in my case,
if I want to link to a database, I could just call it MyDB or whatever the name is, ACCDB. And you just put that in. Instead of the name of the HTML page, you just put the name of the database. So whatever you call the database, and you upload it to the server. And then I ask for a fourth thing, and that could be something else you've done in this class or something you've done in another class. When you leave here, hopefully, because in the capstone course we'll get you to work on this, but what we want you to have is a portfolio that you can show to a potential employer that shows the work that you've done. Now, you're probably going to clean it up a lot when you finally get out, so that it is, you know, showing more advanced stuff, but it should be in there. And what you're doing is you're putting links to some of your work, so you're starting a portfolio. Now, if I were you, as I go through my courses here, I'd be collecting some of the hard work that you've done so that you can make the portfolio include a variety of things from a variety of especially computer classes. That's what they're mainly going to want to see, but certainly a well-written paper or something like that could also be included. But you're putting together the beginning of a portfolio, and eventually you'll hopefully have, you know, a bunch of things that you can then show to an employer. You can put up on the web and show to an employer. Okay? So that's what this is about. And if it's not until next week, that's fine. But you're going to put up some kind of a title page, link to a page that has a list of your work. Okay? That okay? Anybody got questions on that?
Yeah.
No, you can put anything you want. I just had a link to a resume.
Oh, all right.
By the time you're done, you should have a resume on there too, because that would be part of the portfolio. But you don't have to put that in yet. Okay? So I just want four things. Two of them are supposed to be JavaScript, I believe. One is a database. The fourth can be whatever you want it to be.
Doesn't the database already have that extension?
Yes.
Okay.
But when you refer to it, you've got to be sure you give it that extension. When you say ahreference equals.
Oh, okay.
This goes with the ahreference equals.
Doesn't the file include that, though? That's what I'm saying. It keeps it a file, right?
The file will be named whatever you named it with a .accdb extension.
Right. That's why I'm not sure why we have to have one.
You're not. Oh. You're just telling the name of it. Like down here, I'm saying bring up that.
Right.
Well, if it's a database, I'm going to give the name of the database .accdb. I'm just going to put the name of the database, .accdb. You're going to drag it up to CISWeb, drop
right.
it there.
Right.
And then that name that you just dropped it under has got to be included in here as one of your links.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's linking directly to the file, right?
Right.
So,
and the file has an accdb extension.
Right.
Okay, I frequently get the question of what... What does that look like, how to do the database? So maybe I was asking a question, answering a question you don't have. But somebody else has it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll know when I do it. But...
So back to VB now. Thank you for asking that, though. I kept forgetting it. I did become a professor because I heard absent-minded professors a lot. And I think it was made for me. Well, when I wrote, I stored a file with this name in this directory on my E drive.
Right.
Well, now I want to read it, so I've got to give it the exact same name and the exact same location, or it can't find it and read it. Okay. So it has to have this exact same name and the exact same location so it can find it and read it. So if I open both of them, let's see, this is that one. I want, what do you mean, the form reader? I want you to write your own, but, so I don't show what you mean.
I guess just as an example.
Sure. In fact, I would definitely use it as an example, because it's got a bunch of copy and paste stuff you better do. Let me get them both opened. Then that's where it's got to point to.
Are you saving it with that name inside it?
I saved the file, yes, when I did the write. Okay. Okay, these are basically the two together. And let me just move this one over just a little bit more and get it perfect or close to it. So those two file names seem to be have to be the same. But when I wrote, I said, I am writing it on the E drive with in a folder called VB120, and that's the name, and that's where I'm writing it. So it gets written there. Okay? So when I, because this line actually does, that line that says write all text actually writes it. So now when I read it, I am reading by the same name. Because if I don't say go to the E drive, go to folder VB120 and find the file called that, then it's not going to find what I just finished writing. Okay, so I wrote it and put it in this spot. Now when I read it, I got to go back and say, that file that I just wrote, you'll find it here. And this is its name. Yes, it's a separate text file. So I'm writing a separate text file. And now I want to read that text file that I just wrote. Okay.
Now, when you wrote my DocuPeter file system, that's something that we just need to...
That's a copy and paste. There's a lot of stuff in this that are just copy and paste. And I mean, I would just copy and paste them. I would not even begin to try to memorize what I need to put there. Okay? There's a reason why I never give a closed book test. I'd flunk them. Okay? Because I don't think you should have to memorize all of this stuff. You should know where to find it and how to use it. But I can't memorize all this stuff, and I'm assuming most, if you do something day after day, then it becomes part of your memory. But if you don't do it except occasionally, then it's not going to be part of your memory.
You gotta know that you have the ability and to do it, and then find how to do it. Is anybody getting a file that they've written that they now can read?